Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
All right, we are going to be in the book of Proverbs today for the most part. You can turn, we're going to look at a couple verses. Proverbs chapter 4 is probably where you want to go, starting with verse 20 through 27. We're going to start a new series called Strong, and today is going to be Strong Kids. How do we develop and train, raise up strong kids? And the next week we're going to look at strong marriages. And then the week after that will be strong relationships. And then I think we'll have one more. Strong. All right. Before we go look to God's Word, I want us just to open up with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your Word that is alive. It's active in our hearts and our lives. It isn't meant just to be words on a page. It is meant to work in our heart and our lives, to change, to transform, to renew us, to bring health to our very body, our heart, and our soul. We give you the thanks this day, and we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 22:6. Does anybody know what Proverbs 22:6 says? Every parent should know it. You should have it memorized. That's close. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that isn't a promise, but it is a proverb. In other words, if you train up a child, understanding who they are, you bring them up in the ways of the Lord intentionally, when they get to be an adult, they will follow the ways of the Lord. Now, it's a proverb, so it's not a guarantee. But I believe it is something that it's a proverb. So if you do this, 99% of the time you're going to get that result. Okay, that's what a proverb is. It's a word of wisdom. And then in Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon, again, the book of Proverbs is written by Solomon. It's written to his son. Okay, so you have to have that context in mind. He's passing on these words of wisdom to his son. Now, there is some other authors towards the end of Proverbs, but the bulk of it was written by Solomon. So let's read this together in Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. So we read the other passage earlier here. Train a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. And then Solomon says in Proverbs 4, 20 through 27, my son, pay attention to what I say and do not turn your ear towards my words. In other words, you're listening. It's just a metaphor, symbolism of listening to what is being said. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Now, when you are talking to somebody, okay, when your spouse is talking to you, I'm going to use the illustration of spouses here, and you know if they're listening if they actually turn their head, right? If they just keep on doing what they're doing, especially when you get older, you can't hear a thing, right? So I think this was written to people that are older because you have to turn your ear to hear what you're saying. Starting to have some of those effects, okay? But if you really want to hear what the other person is saying, you sometimes even have to go into the room that they are at, or you have to turn your head so that you're listening. And that also communicates to that person that you are paying attention, right? You're not looking at the TV, you're not reading the book, the newspaper, you are turning towards them. And so in this case, it is children that are to turn their ears towards wisdom. Where are my kiddos at? Oh, I forgot to announce the kids, if they fill out, if they get this all filled out and they turn it into Amy, they get a cool sticker that represents a strong kid, all right? They're auto coolant stickers. Josh, don't tell them what that means, all right? All right, so if they fill that out and they see Amy, we got some cool stickers that they can take home or they can put it on something that they want to put on, all right? So Solomon says, first of all, that as we turn our ear towards wisdom and insight, keeping it with all of our heart, the words of God, his wisdom is, first of all, life and health to those who find them. And that's interesting that in the Hebrew, I think in an English culture, we separate things out. We put our spiritual life over here. We put our physical life over here. We put our emotional life over here. Compartments, right? I think it kind of comes from a European mindset. But in Scripture, it's very holistic. And you'll hear terms about holistic. And holistic means that what I do spiritually is going to impact what I do physically and emotionally. Okay? There's overlap there, isn't there? What I do physically impacts my spiritual life. Did you know that? It does. Because if I don't feel good physically, it's going to affect my spiritual well-being as well as my emotional well-being. Okay? Maybe I'm going to be depressed or not have the energy that I would like to. So all those are interrelated. It's a very holistic, and that's what the author of Proverbs is talking, what Solomon is talking about, and even within the Hebrew context, they saw it all interrelated, and so they saw if we keep what Scripture has to say about how we should live our life, it's not only going to impact our spiritual life, because people think, I don't need to have a spiritual life. I don't need to know God, because, you know, all I care about is my emotional health, the bottom line in my checking account, and how I feel physically. Okay, I'm healthy, I'm active, I don't need God, right? But it all overlaps, and it's all interrelated. It's a very holistic. And Solomon says, if you keep the commands of God, they will be life, they'll make you alive, they'll give you a sense of renewal, is what that word means in the Hebrew, and health, which is also translated cure or healing. So as you get into God's Word and follow His ways, you can actually sense of healing and a cure that is found there. Amen? Our spiritual life impacts all that we do. And so Solomon says four things he's going to tell, ways that we can train or raise up a child, four things that he calls us to do. So that is found in verses 22, 23 through 27. He says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of it. So let's look at that first one. The first one in your program here is, how do we develop strong kids? By teaching them to guard their heart. All right? Okay, where are all the kids at? Okay, I want you to guard your heart. How are you going to guard your heart? You're going to go like that? Guard your heart? Right? Now, do you think God is talking about the organ, the heart, our organ? It goes pum, 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 pum. Is that what God is talking about, Wyatt? Maybe? Maybe? Maybe not? Probably not. He's not talking about our organ. He's talking about our heart as the center of who we are. So we got Valentine's Day coming up in a week and a half, right? And people are going to say, I love you with all my heart. So it's not their organ, right? Right? Here, you can have my whole heart, right? That's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about with our whole being, with all that we have, it's the center of who we are. That's our heart. And so when Scripture talks about to guard our heart, it's to guard whatever comes into our mind, our soul, our spirit, our inner being. That is the idea of what guarding your heart is. Jesus was very much concerned. The Pharisees, during Jesus' time, the religious leaders were concerned about don't do this, do this. They were all this legalistic stuff. But Jesus was concerned about the heart. See, and so it meant this. They thought, you know what, if I, as long as I give of my tithe, they were very religious about their tithes. So they tied off even their spices, their mint, and other things that were in the garden, they would tithe off of that. They're very religious, meticulous about it. But they didn't love God in their heart. Okay? There was a lot of things that they would follow the law, but their heart was far away from God. And so when you read through the book of Matthew, it talks a lot about the heart, the condition of the heart. The New Living Translation, kind of on Proverbs 4:23, says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart because everything flows out of it. So as we guard our heart, our inner being, The reason why we do that is because everything else flows out of that. Jesus would say in Matthew 15, so talking about the heart, he says in verse 16, you guys are dull. You don't understand that whatever enters the mouth comes out the other end, right? Okay, right? And that doesn't contaminate the body. Verse 19, Chris, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. You know, if your hands a little bit dirty, you know, got a little mud or dirt on them, that's never hurt anybody. I'm pretty sure as a toddler, I ate my share of mud, all right? And dirt, all right? And it didn't kill me. But what will kill us or harm us is what we allow into our inner being, because out of that then flows all these things. See, the Pharisees were worried about that the disciples were eating food on the Sabbath. They were kind of plucking some heads of grain as they were walking along the roadside, which was legal, okay? But their hands weren't clean, and it was on the Sabbath, so the Pharisees were all bent out of shape. They were breaking the law. And Jesus says, you know what? That's not what contaminates the heart. What contaminates the heart is what we allow into our life, and it's out of the heart come these thoughts, murder, adulteries, sexual morality, and that. So how do we guard our heart? If you go out in the country, you'll be driving along, and all of a sudden you'll see this sign. It says waterhead protection area. What does that mean? Yeah, there's probably a well there, right? Okay, creek gets their water from someplace. It's not the best water in the world by any means, right? Okay, but there's wells, there's springs, and whenever there's a source of a well or a spring, usually there's signage up that says, hey, you know, you can't have chemical here. Farmers have to follow certain restrictions. Why? Because they want to protect that water source. They know that if the water gets polluted, it's going to pollute everybody that drinks it, right? And if our heart, if we see that as the image of a well, if that well gets polluted, it's going to pollute our thoughts, it's going to pollute our language, it's going to pollute our behavior, because our heart has been polluted by what we've seen, what we've heard, and what we've put into our heart. So, how do we guard our heart? First of all, you have to have a filter to guard your heart, right? And you know what? Kids aren't born with a filter. You know? Did you know that? They're not born with a filter. You're not, Alyssa, you're not born with a filter. All right? You're not born with a filter. The only filter you probably have in your body is the liver, right? Okay, that's probably the best thing you got. The filter is your blood, right? But you're not born with a filter that protects your inner being. So mom and dad, you are that filter, right? That's your role to watch and to monitor what they watch on TV. And nowadays, just was reading the current results, people, you know, whether it's pornography or just violence and all that stuff, where are they viewing that stuff through? Internet, and it's usually coming on your phones, your iPads, and computers. Mom and dad, you are the filter, because they don't have a filter. They're not born with one. You are that filter. And your role as a mom and dad is to be that filter until they mature and grow and develop that filter on their own. But they're not built with that roadmap. They're not built with that mechanism to judge between right and wrong. That is our job as a parent, to provide that moral compass, that filter within their life, so that when they get old, they're able to make some of those decisions themselves. Solomon says, above all else, guard your heart. He kind of sees this as the major one. The rest of these kind of build on top of this first point. Above all else, guard your heart. Wrong music, TV, it comes through all these different sources. Solomon understood it. Times have changed. They didn't have internet back then, but they still had other sources of input. People still did wrong things. They still had lustful thoughts. They still they took things that didn't belong to them. They were hateful. They were mean. They said wrong things. Times have changed, but they haven't, right? we still deal with those things. And so Solomon's words are still true today. Above all else, guard your heart, because it is the wellspring of life. It is from all your heart that all things flow. Second of all, put this in your notes here, we develop strong kids by teaching them to avoid perverse and corrupt speech. Verse 24 says, keep your mouth free of perversity and keep corrupt talk from your lips. Perverse. Perverse means crooked, literally. Okay? It's like going to Menards or Home Depot and trying to find a straight 2x4, right? You're looking at them and they go, like that, right? You can't use them. They're crooked. Who wants a crooked board, right? And that's what it talks about, our speech being, it's not true, it's not righteous, it's not straight, it's crooked, okay? Perverse or corrupt, corrupt maybe even talks about being influenced by others. We get corrupted, don't we? It's like corrosion. And usually we learn bad language from where? The world, yeah. Where in the world? Can be school, yeah. Where else? Sometimes home. Okay. There again, it can come through media, right? What we watch on TV, our movies, music. You know, music more and more contains a lot of profanities in it. Daniels had to deal with this in the high school. They'll play before the games and stuff. They'll play some of these popular songs. And the teachers are okay with it, but they don't understand. They're not even listening to the profanities that are in there. And so he said, you know what? We shouldn't be playing this song because of what's in there. But everybody's just kind of letting it fly because they're not even understanding the words that are being said there. But the kids pick them up. They know it's there. Being corrupted. I think friends are a big factor in that, whether it's at school or at play. We hear that. I remember working, well, I have to tell the funny story. Are all my kids listening? Okay, they're listening. I see nods. I remember I came home one day. My mom was pretty strict on me about what came out of my mouth. And I came home one day, and I think I said a word that begins with S that is like manure, okay? And some of you are maybe okay with that, but my mom wasn't. And so she took out the bar of soap and like that. And I really didn't have to struggle with saying anything bad after that. It worked. Now, I don't know if that's... all I know is it worked. It didn't kill me. And it sure made my mouth taste bad for a while. But it was... I didn't go blind. No. At least she didn't use lava soap or something like that, right? yours did. And I think we even used that on our kids. I think it worked. I hope. But I remember working... let's read this passage in Colossians. Colossians says, talking just about the sinful life, it says, put to death, therefore, what belongs to the earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but you now must rid yourselves of all such things, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. And do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices, and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. Here again, mom and dads, you're the filter. You're the ones that help determine their vocabulary. They're going to be influenced by other sources, okay? I don't care where it is. You can go to a Christian school, and they're going to still hear stuff there too, okay? I don't care, the playground, wherever. You can't get away from it. Your job is to protect, but also to instill what is right and wrong. And I remember... just one of the jobs I worked up in Alaska, we moved up there, my junior of high school, middle of my junior year. So it must have been like between my junior and senior year of high school that I worked a construction job up there. And I worked construction since I was 12 with my dad. And so we got on a job up there. But I just remember some of those guys were just so, the stuff that they talked about was much worse than school. And I mean, it was just filthy. It was just bad language, and maybe it was after I'd been at a year of Bible college, I think. But I just remember coming home, and I had all these words bouncing around in my brain, right? They're all bouncing around. And I didn't want them there, and it's not like I was tuning into something I shouldn't have been tuning into. It's just I was doing my job at work, and it was just part of the environment. And some of you are in environments like that. And so I just remember coming home and saying, you know, God, just I just didn't want that in my life. We have to protect what we have to avoid that perverse and corrupt speech in our life. Solomon says a third thing. He says we need to develop strong kids by teaching them to focus on the right things. He says, and let your eyes look straight ahead and fix your gaze directly before you. Now, kids in our culture, there again, they don't know what to focus on in life as they get older. And where is their attention going to be gravitated towards? What are they going to focus on? What? Things that they're curious about? Yeah. So, you know, if you watch TV shows and stuff, and some of it seems pretty innocent, but it can get them on fashion and clothes, right? Yeah, you have to have the in clothes, right? Because all the kids on the TV shows, young TV shows, they're all dressed nice. So you can get them caught on clothes, materialism. There's nothing wrong with looking nice. But if you think that that's all there is, and if you think your identity is in the clothes you wear, that's not a healthy thing. Maybe it has to do with that, you know, it's on money or entertainment. They want to be famous. Oh, I want to sing like Miley Cyrus, or I want to. Or whoever the singer is out there now. I want to be like them. Entertainment. So we can get focused on these things. Popularity. As they get into young adulthood and into teenagers' years, the sexual thing becomes more of an issue. You can focus on these different things. And as a parent, you have to help them focus on what is right. Because if they're again, they don't have any filter. They don't have any barometer of, hey, this is right and this is wrong. That's why Solomon wrote this to his son so that his son could know, hey, focus on these right things because it's going to develop and it's going to direct the course of your life. Paul says in Philippians, he's praying for the Philippians and he says, this is my prayer, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. This is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, the glory and the praise of God. He says that you may be able to discern what is best. And so, even as a parent, you're not only helping your kids to determine and discern what is good, you're helping them to discern what is best. And sometimes that's a big difference. Paul says in Corinthians, he says, you know what? In Christ, you can say that you can do a lot of different things, but Paul says, I'm only going to do the things that are beneficial, that are the best things for my life. Helping kids to determine what is best for their life, their best choices, whether it's best friends, whether it's their entertainment choices, what they read, what they listen to in music, how they spend their money, helping them to know what is best. I'm going to skip that other verse there, Chris. Solomon says a fourth thing. He says that we need to develop strong kids by teaching them to make wise choices. Wise choices. Verses 26 and 27 says, be careful then, give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. There we go, we got it right. But keep your foot from evil. Now, you'll notice in the Psalms and Proverbs, they use a lot of metaphors and similes, okay? But a metaphor is a picture. And they didn't have roads and pathways like we do in our day and age. And so they had walked down a path, and maybe there wasn't a shoulder to that pathway, and maybe it wasn't proper lighting, especially at night. If you fell off the path, you very well could be falling to your death or to be injured, okay? And so there was, and maybe even in some places, the path was a little bit hard to find. You ever been hiking and got on the wrong path, right? Which path am I supposed to take? This trail, right? Following that path, knowing which path is going to lead to eternal life, which path is going to lead to just prosperity in life. And I mean that word in a good way, that prosperity, I think, has sometimes been twisted to mean something that it's not supposed to be. In a biblical sense, it meant that God was going to go before you to remove barriers and hindrances. God is going to go before you. He's going to bless you. How many want the blessing and favor of God? I do. Yeah. And what Solomon is trying to instill is he wants his son to experience the prosperity and the blessing of God. How many want that for your kids? Absolutely, right? And so it is helping them to determine the path that they choose. And we know a path, a course of life that we choose, the way that we choose isn't just one path. It's the decisions we make along the way. Think about how many decisions you make every day. Can you count them all? That is one of them, right? What I watch on TV, the music I listen to on the way to work, who I talk to, who I don't talk to, what I eat, what I don't eat. Just think about all the decisions that you make in each and every day that determine the course of your life. It determines your health. It determines your emotional well-being. It determines your spiritual well-being. Right? Did I turn in the Christian music? Did I read my Bible and spend time with God? Did I eat right? Did I exercise? The choices. It's not just one choice. It's all these little choices that we make that determine this one large path that we end up on. And see, kids don't know. You turn them loose and they'll get lost, right? They don't know where they're going. That's why as a parent, you're there to guide them, to hold their hand and help them out. Now eventually they get older, right? And they can drive on them by themselves and they can navigate. But they don't get there all by themselves. And so you have to help them with these choices. And as adults, it applies to us as well, that we make these choices of choosing the right path. Psalms 1:1-3 says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the steps with the wicked." There's a progression here. So it begins with walking with the wicked, standing on their pathway with the sinners, and now you're sitting down with them and you're mocking the things of God. There's a progression. So it begins with walking. Then it begins, hey, I'm hanging out with them on their path. And now my attitude has been affected, so now I'm even mocking God and the people of God. He says, "Blessed are the ones who delight in the law of God and meditate on God's law day and night. That person will be like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers." We develop strong kids by teaching them to guard their hearts, avoid perverse and corrupt speech, to focus on the right things, and to make wise choices. Amen? I'm going to have the musicians come. And what I've learned as a parent, as a pastor, there's some things in life we have to be pretty intentional about, because if you're not intentional about them, they don't happen. And being a mom and dad, if there's things, qualities you want in your children, it requires being intentional. And sometimes the world understands this principle better than we do. That's why I think outside voices want to get into our schools and teach them things that would lead them away from God or biblical principles. In communist countries, the communists understood that, and if they could get kids at a young age and indoctrinate them, they could influence them for the rest of their life. And as Christians, we have to get a hold of that, that if kids are not going to turn into godly believers just because they're in our home, we have to be intentional about what we do. And I think even what we do on a Wednesday night is part of that as the church. It's definitely part of it. But as mom and dad, it all falls on you, you know? Get them to church. You get them to school so they can learn reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? But it still comes down to mom and dad. And some of you are just maybe mom or maybe just dad. That makes it harder. And maybe you're carrying a lot of that weight. But God is faithful. I think about just the football teams that will be playing tonight. I'm not sure who I'm rooting for yet, so... sorry, Chris. I know Chris. I think Chris is the only one with his shirt on today. But, the people that are in the Super Bowl, the teams that are there, aren't there by chance, folks. Yes, they maybe had some close games along the way, but they're not there by chance. They've been very intentional throughout the year. The athletes, they've been in training. It's been these small decisions along the way of working out, making practice, coaches making good coaching decisions as far as strategy. It's a lot of choices, decisions that we're not even going to be aware of that have led them up to this moment, that have allowed them to compete at this championship game. And that applies to our life as well. If we're going to raise championship kids, we have to be intentional, don't we? If we want them to be able to compete in the Super Bowl of life, to be strong, because this culture is not going to be easy. It's not. They're going to be faced with temptation. They're going to be saying, hey, come off this pathway. Right? By friends, by other people in their life. They can be tempted by money. They can be tempted by fame. There's going to be all sorts of distractions to get them off the path that leads to eternal life. But if we can do our best to raise up strong kids that stick to that path, that they know where they're going, who they are in Christ, I believe that we can navigate them through those times. Amen? Would you stand this morning? We're going to sing that chorus, Good Father. Proverbs says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. And as a parent that has taken most of our kids through that process, and realizing that kids, they have to find their own way and make decisions and choices, I still come back to that we've raised them up in the ways of God to know what is right and wrong, and that they find that course and that pathway. Even if they get off track every once in a while, amen? They come back because they know the truth. Amen. Just got one illustration before we just close in prayer. When we're young and tender, we have a great sensitivity because our skin is thin, right? No calluses, so those nerve endings are pretty sensitive. Heat, whatever the case may be. But as hands become calloused, in a work sense, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But we can become calloused in this world, so much to the place that we no longer know what is right and wrong. Maybe this message is maybe for more adults. But we become so callous because of what we see on TV, what we hear, that we no longer know what is right and wrong. It all becomes blurred. And that's where we need to get back into God's Word, because it helps to restore and renew what is right, what is wrong. So we know, then we can know what is right and wrong. And we have that filter again. It's not that it's been totally destroyed. God can renew those things to give us a discernment in our heart again. Father, this morning we just come before you. This is a message, Father, that feel very strongly about. We are only given a certain amount of time to raise up our children in the ways of God, where we're the filter for them, and then helping them to know what is right and wrong so that they have a filter of their own to guard their heart, to guard their speech and what they hear and the choices that they make. That window goes by so fast. And I just pray for parents that you give them the wisdom and the discernment and the power of your Spirit to guide them in that process. I pray, dear God. Father, as adults, Lord, I pray that if our sensitivity to right and wrong has been destroyed, Father, I pray that you would come by your Holy Spirit and begin to renew our heart, our mind, our soul. As we get into your Word, as we pray, Father, restore that filter within our own lives so we can, above all else, we can guard our heart. Because it's out of the heart that all things flow. Words, actions, the attitudes, behavior. And so, Father, help us to guard our heart. What will we put into our body physically, the food, does not usually have moral consequences to us. But what we feed our eyes, our ears, and the other senses affects our soul to the very core. And what we put in is what's going to come out. So, Father, help us to, above all else, guard our heart. Father, we give you the thanks. We give you the praise this day. Go with us this week as we go and be salt and light in our world. Go with us in your presence, in your spirit, I pray. We ask this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you this morning. Take time to greet one another.